again there, folks. So I thought I'd do another lockdown monologue on, and this time on the subject of Eastern Europe, which is more of an issue. It comes up more and more now, where you see people talking about Eastern Europe, Poland, Hungary, Bulgaria, Romania, the Baltic countries, that they can all act as bull tools for people in the West. And I know recently Nick Griffin's came out and he has the one opinion. I never watched that stream, so I can't really comment on it. It doesn't matter that much, because this is something which I see more and more, and not just on the internet either. Like, I'll go for a few pints with a couple of mates from time to time, and a subject that comes up is that you hear this more, they'll say, "I need to get out." They'll not talk about, I think I'll move away to Eastern Europe. They'll talk in terms of getting out and escaping. And that alone, so it is, you know, that alone is testament to just how far things are going in England and in the West of Europe as well. And I have to say, when you're talking about a man with a family, or if he's a bit younger, and he just wants to get out of England because there's a multitude of reasons as well. There's the demographics, which is an obvious one. He can see the writing on the wall. He looks 10 to 20 years down the line and he thinks it'll be an absolute horror show. And then there's just the current zeitgeist. It's politically correct. It's degenerate. Everything costs so much. You're expected to work long, long hours for not much. And on top of that, you've got to sit while your areas are transformed and there's nothing you can do about it. And there's this feeling of helplessness. And yeah, so then compared to that, Eastern Europe does seem like this Shangri-La where everybody can head off to. And there's two ways to approach this. And there's one which is on the individual level, where somebody's basically, he's looking out for himself. Because the very fact that you just abandon your country like that is testament to an atomized and individual society, because you look out for number one, you look out for yourself, or maybe if you're married and you've got a kid or two, you'll think, well, it's a better life for them out there. And it's a powerful argument to have. It's I can absolutely have some sympathy for that, because they're right. But where I think this gets a little bit more problematic is when we begin to think of this not just in, let's say my mate heads off to Bulgaria, he's always looking at the land there, but then when you're talking about a mass exodus, because a lot of these people who do move off to Eastern Europe, they're doing it on the assumption that everybody else won't follow, then that everybody else isn't having the same idea. And in actual fact, it may well turn out to be where there's this stampede towards Eastern Europe from people from the West, and that's going to have a lot of ramifications. It's a sort of unspoken truth. It's something uncomfortable which people will have to take into consideration when we look at how Europe's going to progress going forward. But the problem is, I mean, despite all the doom and gloom, if you just take Germany and Britain, you're looking at around in the region of 100 million white Europeans just in those two countries. And so if this is no longer just one or two fellas moving off, and it does become this exodus, which, by the way, people in nationalist circles seem to be, some of them, actually advocating for. Well, what you're going to have is, say, 100, just with Britain and Germany, potentially 100 million people moving over to Eastern Europe. And you're talking about countries with a population, sometimes they've only got 10 to 12 million people. I think Poland's got the most, countries like Latvia and Estonia have only got 1 or 2 million people. And so what you're actually talking about here is completely transforming the demographic makeup of the continent. And this has serious implications. So the first thing is that I won't be going to Eastern Europe. I can't. I'm above 40. I don't have very many qualifications. I'm not rich. I don't have much, and I've got ties. Yeah, I've got too much baggage. I'm not going anywhere. I'm in England for the long haul. And the thing is, there's going to be a lot of people like me like that as well. Not everybody can afford to get out, and so what happens is you get left behind. So then the demographics get much worse, because then your particular group has headed for the hills. They've all headed off to Eastern Europe, and then that compounds the demographic problem that you are left to face. The poor people who can't get out, like me, let's say. Well, it also raises some... Once you actually get to Eastern Europe, it raises more questions, because the men in Eastern Europe, when you're talking about one or two people going over and buying a cheap plot of land somewhere and raising a family, okay, that's one thing. But when you're talking about, as I say, the mass demographic transformation of Eastern Europe, the first thing is, are they going to put up with that? And I don't think they will. The second thing is, like, you are then, even let's say that they do put up with it because people from the West have got money and they're gonna, yeah, they think they can cash in on this. Well, it's still gonna completely erase the identity of Eastern Europe, because despite all the doom and gloom about demographics, there's so many more people in the West than what there is in the East. I mean, if you had, let's say, you could move 10 million people. If 10 million Germans decided to move to Hungary, the population of Hungary would double straight away, and the Hungarians would be reduced to a minority in their own homeland straight away. What would actually happen is that would be dispersed across Europe, and the numbers would be bigger. But what you're going to have is men in Eastern Europe, and this is where I think it gets interesting, men in Eastern Europe are not going to like what they're seeing, because they're going to see their identity disappear pretty for the same reasons. You know, it won't be as bad. It's not the same groups from around the world. But what's going to happen to the people in Eastern Europe is that they are going to see their identity disappear in the same way that the people in Western Europe are seeing their roots and their identity disappear. And they're going to start and look for ways to deal with that. And they're going to start and vote for the most right-wing, the most nationalistic, conservative parties to prevent the influx of people from the West. And this then puts the Western Europeans in a funny position, because then if you have a large diaspora in, say, Poland from all over the West, a couple of million, and they want to stay there, they are then going to be in a position of voting for the equivalent of the Labour Party or whatever liberal, neoliberal globalist party there is, because they will protect your rights. They will be the ones that stick up for you in their countries. And so all of a sudden, you know, you've left your homeland. And this is, well, if we're talking about millions of people, you'll have left your homeland and then became the exact problem which you annoyed you in your, in say, Britain or in Germany or in Holland or in these Western European countries. You are now going to be the one which is using liberal politics to launch an assault on the settled identity of the peoples in Eastern Europe. That's how that would go. And what this will result in is that the Eastern Europe would just become the West. And at the same time, you're going to have people who could, like me, who are going to be stuck here are going to face the music. And so I'm going to resign myself to the fact that I am just here. But another thing, which I think's probably the worst aspect of this, is if you look at Sun Tzu's, one of his aphorisms about strategy was that you never completely surround an enemy and put them in a hopeless situation, because they will then fight. If there's no way out, if their backs are really against the wall, then they will fight to the bitter end. Whereas if you leave a little opening, it's actually saps their morale. And you can see this as well, because the struggle in the West is really undermined, I think, by this idea that, well, if things get too bad, I can always just run off to Poland or Hungary or whatever. And so what that does is people tend not to fight, not to not you know, I'm not fed posting. The people tend not to take these things so seriously if they think they can always just kind of jump out of the aeroplane with a parachute on and land in Poland or Hungary and everything will be just hunky-dory. Again, leaving aside the effect that all of these millions of people from the West would have on those countries and whether or not they'd even be wanted. What this does then is say, well, there's no point. There's no point in really speaking up and doing what I can to save Western Europe, because I can do a little bit, and if it doesn't, if nothing happens, then I can always just head to the East. And this, is, again, it's like really bad for morale. It really takes the wind out of the sails of any dissident movement, because you've always got the opt-out option. And another thing is, you know, there's this assumption, I think, that it will only be right-wing people who head over there, and that's not the case either. There's no reason whatsoever why Guardian columnists and BBC presenters can't just head over there either, and then compound the problem that it will be seen as this liberal influence on Eastern Europe, because they can go there as well. And if you think, yeah, well, they stay here, they'll stay in the West because they love diversity, they don't. They can easily live with the hypocrisy of white flighting their way into Somerset or somewhere, while at the same time advocating that there's an endless amount of immigrants move their way into these northern Yorkshire towns. They've long since learned that. They can easily, the intelligentsia, the lib shits, they can easily go to Eastern Europe and just start up a campaign once again of enrichment and diversity and multiculturalism, even though that's exactly what they ran away from in the West. It's just they'd be dishonest about it. So they'd get that as well. And the overall effect of this would be to atomize the entire continent. And I don't really see any way forward in this at all. I don't see any positives, unless it's at the individual level. Unless you say, hey, look, I'm just looking out for myself. It's all over. There's no way out of this. I'm going to run for it. Yeah, okay, you can do that. You can't do it for any kind of greater good. And I think when people say, well, we'll get to Eastern Europe and then we'll carry on the fight, you know, we'll be there. We'll be there back with you in Rotherham. We'll be there in spirit. I think that's a cope. I think it's what they've done is head off for the nice life in Eastern Europe while they still can, before too many people flood the place. And then that idea that, well, I'm going to carry on being a nationalist while I'm there, I think that's just like a sort of post hoc cope. It's a rationalisation of what they've done after the fact. First comes the fact that they're going to run. And again, in some cases, I kind of blame them. Some as places in London, and if you want to get out and you're going to go over there, fair enough. But I think in a lot of cases, it's once they've actually landed and they think, yeah, we're going to carry on the fight from here. It's just a rationalisation. It's just a cope to justify that essentially they've fled their land. And by the way, you know, to these men in Eastern Europe, what are you going to say to them when they say, like, you ran away from your land and now you've come to mine, and I can't respect that? What do you say? What do you say to the man in Hungary or Latvia or Bulgaria who thinks you're a wimp because you ran away from your country and now you're going to look for shelter in his? And then, which is the way these things would go, would be, we don't want any more of you there. Because, you know, that kind of language will be absolutely permitted out there. And in the way that kind of language against immigration in Western Europe would see you landed in jail, you won't have any protections like that in Eastern Europe. So how do you then internalise that? what do you say back to the man who says, look, you've run away from your country? Which is, it is a simplification. It is a simplification because things are bad in the West. I understand that. But the world is a brutal place. And that is how they'll see it. That's how they will see it. And it will lead to people thinking, well, I'll look at the political scene out here and I'm going to vote for the Liberal Party because they're on my side. Because the more right-wing nationalist parties want me out of the country. They want to send me back to Britain. All of these issues and all of this trouble is on the horizon if there is this mass exodus to Eastern Europe, which a lot of people seem to be openly advocating for. But I'm not going to be in that. I'm, for better or worse, stuck in England. I'm too old. I'm too poor. And I've got too much baggage here and connections and family. So that's my thought on that. But I do see trouble ahead if it carries on. If there is this mass exodus, there will be trouble. And there will be a backlash from the Eastern Europeans. So that's my thoughts on that. I'll catch you later.